The gospel of Jesus Christ is something that angels would long to look at.
He seems to care not only that I live, but how I live.
You're going to have to pick and choose. Go with God's word or go with what the world is saying. You need to come down into the Word of God and try and test everything according to the Word of God, which is the plumb line, which helps us to know, is it true or is it false? Preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from
heaven. I've got a God who really is intricately involved in the affairs of man.
Force every sinew muscle within you to give it all it's got and go all the way to the finish line. It's a labor, and it's a labor of love. The love expresses itself in toil, in sweat, and blood, and tears, and going all the way. And he says, as I remember,
every word is given of God, and therefore it is the end, it is perfect, it is the full inspiration of God. It is the only source of authority that you and I have.
This is Word for the World with Dr. Randy White. Dr. White is presenting a series of sermons about Christian generosity, and we're calling it Taking Part with a Generous Heart. Today, Dr. White is continuing a message from yesterday's broadcast. Here's Dr. White to introduce today's portion of the sermon.
And today we close out this week with our series called Spirit Works, and it is the work of the Holy Spirit that we're considering, and this week we have looked really at two subjects. We've looked at who the Holy Spirit is, and then we've begun to look at how the Holy Spirit works. Specifically, how does he work in the life of those who are lost, that is, those who need to be saved? We'll continue this topic in just a moment, but before we do, I just want to thank you for listening to us, and I want to thank you for your notes of encouragement that you send and your phone calls. I want to remind you also that these sermons, of course, they're edited for time to fit in this broadcast section, but they're always available online to go back and listen to the broadcast, to download the broadcast, or to purchase the individual sermons by themselves. A download of a full sermon is $2, unless you're one of our Club 8 or Club 360 members. We'd love to visit with you about that, in which the downloads are absolutely free for Club 8 and Club 360. Even the CDs are free. And these are groups of supporters that just help us to pay the bills here at Randy White Ministries, and we appreciate them very much. Now, we come back into our topic of how the Holy Spirit works in the lives of the lost to bring them to salvation. We've already seen that it takes a witness, a proclamation of the gospel. But beyond that, the Holy Spirit does a unique and a special work in the lives of individuals who receive that witness. It's a work of convicting to bring about his work of regeneration. Let's get right into the sermon. Now, I want to address a false belief here, a false doctrine. There are some who say that, here's their theology. They say, now, mankind has fallen from a state of well-being in the garden. They fell into sin, and they would then say that, of course, as we would say, that they're totally depraved. They can no longer do anything good for God. But then here's where the false doctrine come in. Some would say there is a common grace that is given to all mankind, just enough so that they can turn and accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now, what that means is they're not totally depraved. They're almost totally depraved. They got just a little bit of good in them that they can, spiritual good and spiritual insight, that they can turn and they can at any time accept Jesus Christ as Savior. And that is to everyone. You know what that false doctrine does? You won't, I call it a false doctrine because you'll never find it in the Bible. You'll find a lot of other things in the Bible about mankind being totally dead to the things of God. We'll look at that in a moment. But you never find that God has given just enough grace that anyone, anytime, anywhere can turn and accept Jesus Christ as Savior. Now, if you have that false doctrine, here's what it leads to. It leads to human ingenuity. You see, if the whole world out there has just enough
that if I could convince them and convict them, then the whole world would come to know Jesus. And so with that idea, armed with that false doctrine, we go out and as preachers we say, man, if I just went to a speaking class and I could speak and rally the troops a little bit more, or if I had a better PowerPoint, or if I would sweat a little more or spit a little less or whatever it is, if I'd learn how to do this. Those on the front row say amen. If I could learn how to do that, more and more people were saved, would be saved. You know, here's how it works in the church world today, and it always has, really, I think, ever since I've been in preaching work. We come together and we look at it and we say, well, you know, the church just isn't growing like I want it to grow. We don't have enough baptisms. We don't have enough new people coming into the church. We're not making enough impact. What should I do? Now, armed with the false doctrine that everyone out there has just enough common grace that they could come to the Lord, what we do is we'll get on the internet or look in the brochure and see what church is really making it happen. What ministry out there is really making it happen? And let's go over there and spend a bunch of money on this conference, and then let's figure out what they're doing, and let's buy the book and the kit, and let's bring it back over here, and if we do that, it'll happen here. What is that? Human ingenuity, isn't it? And I tell you what we should do if there are little results in the ministry. If we believe that the church is really powerless as it comes to results, here's what we should do when there are no results. We should get down on our face before God and plead with Him. Because He's the guy in charge. He is the one at whose mercy we are. So, here we go, and we see that... let me, before I go. If we use our own human ingenuity to convince people that they ought to come to Christ, there are one of two things that we'll get, one of two results. We will, by the way, get some results. People will come, they'll walk the aisle or sign the card or whatever it is we want them to do, or you can get a crowd, you know, all that. It can happen. But here will be the results. One is early dropouts. Just lots of early dropouts. Now, I would just encourage you to go to any church in recent days and look at the number who come in and the numbers then that drop out and you can't see them anymore. And you'll find lots of dropouts. I don't see that in a true conversion. I don't see it at all. So there'll be lots of early dropouts because of human ingenuity. There's a second result that may come if they don't drop out. They will work themselves for a lifetime trying to please God. If I join the choir, if I teach the Sunday school class, if I'd be in the faith program, if I do this and this and this, I would be able to please God because they came, but it never really happened for them, and there was always a sense, I need to do something more, and trying to please God. Now, we're going to get to that here in just a little bit, how that'll never work. So, number one, all the work of the church cannot save a single sinner. Number two, all the work of the lost cannot save their soul. If you're a person here today who has never been born again, you can work from now till Jesus comes doing kind works, doing gracious works, doing biblical works, and die and spend eternity in hell separated from God. All of your work will not do. You know why? The scripture says your righteousness, the best you can bring, is as filthy rags. God doesn't need any more filthy rags. He doesn't use filthy rags. It's a waste. It's worthless. It is by grace we are saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast.
Was Benjamin Franklin a man of Christian faith or just a man of Christian virtue? He is one of the most well-known American figures worldwide. He is looked to as the elder statesman of the founding fathers, a man of moral virtue, biblical knowledge, and tremendous wit. But was Benjamin Franklin a born-again Christian? Order The Faith of Benjamin Franklin by Dr. Randy White, an easy-to-read 50-page booklet about one of our most famous founding fathers. The booklet is only $7.95 and is available at www.randywhiteministries.org or by calling us toll-free at 1-855-437-9448.
Now, why can it save? Let me share three things with you quickly here. First of all, the work of a lost soul cannot save their soul because the lost have an inability in spiritual matters. If you've not been born again, there's just an inability in spiritual matters. Let me share a scripture with you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 14, very clear. It says, but a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are what? Foolishness to him. They're foolishness to him. He what? He cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. In other words, you've got to have a spiritual eye to see that which is spiritual. And so a person who is lost in their sin, they've not been born again, they just have a complete inability in spiritual matters. You know, a lost person is going to look at some things like baptism and say, that is ridiculous. Standing in front of a crowd of sophisticated people and having the preacher dunk you down into a tub of water. Now that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? I mean, honestly, when you think about it, if you'll think about it in a natural sense, it's foolishness, isn't it? Or what about tithing? 10% off the top, give to the work of the local church. Yeah, right. That makes sense, doesn't it? Yeah. Got one saved guy in the room. It doesn't make sense unless it is spiritually appraised, and the lost can't do it. Well, there's a second reason a lost soul can't save their soul, and that is because the lost have an inability to see the gospel. Remember, Paul said, I am not ashamed of what? Of the gospel. For it is the power of God to save to those who believe, the Jews first and also to the Greek. But if it's the gospel that saves and you can't see the gospel, you're in a whole heap of trouble here. Let me share another scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. It says, if our gospel is veiled, covered up, it is hidden, then it is veiled to those who are perishing, to those who are lost. The gospel's covered up. In whose case, the God of this world, who is that? Satan, that's right. The God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. I think you understand that scripture there that says very clearly that a lost person cannot see the gospel because it has been covered up, it has been veiled, their eyes have been closed, and it's happened by who? By Satan. Because he doesn't want the gospel to win, and so he blinds those who are lost. Now, what arrogance it is as a preacher, or fill in your own spot, what arrogance it is to think that my preaching is going to overcome the covering up that Satan has done. That's pretty arrogant, isn't it? Man, if I just prepare more, if I'd preach longer, then I could out-preach the devil. I could get to that point where all the lost people in the congregation would, all of a sudden their eyes would come open by the work that I've done. And if we'd have better songs, if we'd start at, 10:15 instead of 10:30, whatever you come up with, then man, it would really work. If I didn't wear a suit and tie, then man, more people would be able to see the gospel, wouldn't they? And we'll come up with all sorts of crazy stuff. You admit I'm right, right? Thank you. I was hoping you were with me. But the spiritual truth is the lost people just simply can't see the gospel. Now, there's another reason that lost can't save their own soul. Not only are they unable in spiritual matters and unable to see the gospel, but they have an inability to respond to the gospel. We can preach the gospel all day long, all the lost people in the world, and yet they are unable to respond. I want to give you another scripture, John chapter 6, verse 44. Pretty strong. It says, no one. How many people? No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And that is the person that I will rise up on the last day. There's a lot of truth there that I wish we could spend some more time on. But I want you to see it again. No one not most people can, but nobody can, come unto Jesus Christ. And who saves other than Jesus? I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And they can't come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And if the Father draws him unto me, I tell you what I'm going to do. I am going to raise him up on that day. So they have an inability to respond. Let me give you another scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verses 23 and 24 says, we preach Christ crucified. That's exactly what we should do. And I know might already be saying, well, like someone told William Carey, said if God wants to save the people in India, he'll do it. Don't bother going down there. But William Carey said, no, I've got to be obedient unto God. He said, go to the remotest parts of the earth, and we're not there. And so he was obedient. Some say, well, if all this is true, let's just don't witness, let's just don't preach the gospel, God will take care of his work. But here's what Paul said, we preach Christ crucified. Paul understood this doctrine, but he was going to stand and preach anywhere, everywhere. And here is the results. To the Jews, it was a stumbling block. To the Gentiles, it was foolishness. But to those who are the called, whether they be Jew or Greek, it was Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. And see, I think if I can interpret that a little bit and paraphrase that a little bit, I think here's what he's saying. Paul is saying, I stand up and preach my heart out. He says, I realize that those who are natural, they just don't get it. They'll stumble over it. It'll look like foolishness to them. But there's some out there whom God has called, and he uses the circumstances of that preaching to draw them, and whoever he draws, he says, I'll raise them up on that last day. They will be saved.
Our broadcast will continue. Randy White Ministries has a free DVD with 90 minutes of Dr. White's teaching on the very interesting and relevant subject of the Antichrist. To receive this free offer, give us a call today. The toll-free number is 1-855-437-9448. When you request the DVD, we will also put you on our mailing list so that you can receive regular articles, devotional material, and even sermon CDs that Dr. White sends out free of charge several times each year. Once again, call us toll-free at 1-855-437-9448. That's 1-855-4- Now, let's get back to our broadcast.
Now, I want to speak to the saved people here just a moment. If a lost person has an inability in spiritual matters, and a lost person can't see the gospel, and a lost person has an inability to respond to the gospel, and yet you and I as saved people are supposed to go out and evangelize, we're to make disciples, we are to witness unto all of the world, you know what that needs to be at the bottom of it all? Prayer. Prayer. Why? Because we are at the mercy of God. We need to come in, and I'm glad we got a little prayer group that meets every Sunday afternoon. When we go out, they come in, and they get down on their knees, and they begin to pray for the people we're going to go see, and they begin to pray for those who are going out to see, because there is a realization in all of that, that, as an old song said, unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down, it is all vain. It's all for nothing. It's all a waste. And so we so much need to pray. I've been convicted of this lately as we look like God says to Moses, I will be gracious upon those whom I'll be gracious, merciful upon those to whom I'll be merciful. And those scriptures and others that we looked at in Romans chapter 9 reminded me how much I am at the mercy of God. And if I am so at the mercy of God, you know what I need to do each and every day? Fall down on my face before him and say, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, be gracious to me. God, let your face shine upon me and your light shine upon me. Now, I want to say one third point here, and that is this, that all of the work of the Holy Spirit cannot fail to bring new life. When the Holy Spirit comes and does his work on a lost sinner, that sinner will be saved. Here's the work. John chapter 16, verses 7 through 11, it's that scripture that we read just a moment ago, especially in verse 8. It talks about the threefold ministry of the Holy Spirit as it relates to the world or to those who are lost. And that threefold ministry is convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Convict sin, righteousness, and judgment. Now that's the total work of the Holy Spirit as it relates to the lost. And when the Holy Spirit does that threefold work, those individuals will be saved. Now let's talk about that word in verse 8 there that says convict. He will convict the lost. I think sometimes we misinterpret that word. We sometimes use that word. When we think of that word, we think of another word that we would bring with it would be the word remorse. I mean, when you're convicted, you just feel real bad about something, don't you? And so we take that idea of remorse and then we pull that over and say, man, if you're ever going to be saved, it's because the Holy Spirit is going to come and he's going to press down upon you and he is going to make you feel so miserable that you don't want to live another moment. Maybe. But I think there's a better interpretation of the word convict there that might help us here. And you can see it if we were to look in John chapter 3, verse 20. John 3, verse 20, and here's what it says. For everyone who does evil hates the light, capital L, and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. Now, in relation to the light here, that same word is given, and it is translated exposed. And so you could pull that over into John 16, verse 8, and says, when he, the Holy Spirit, comes, here's what he'll do. He will expose the world as it relates to sin and righteousness and judgment. He will pull that veil off and he will bring light. And so I think the best word to use is enlighten. The Holy Spirit enlightens those whom he calls. He enlightens them in three areas. First of all, the Spirit enlightens the lost about sin. If you are lost today, I would encourage you in every way to come and say, Holy Spirit, enlighten me. Help me to see about sin.
The Spirit Work series is available for only $12 on CD. Or $8 for an MP3 download. The CD series includes four sermons in an attractive package. The $12 contribution to our ministry includes the shipping charges, and your purchase helps our ministry continue to provide convictional, conservative Bible preaching on the radio and internet.
And I hope you'll call us today to order that series, Spirit Works. Number toll-free is 1-855-437-9448. We'll repeat that number before the broadcast closes out. And the series is entitled Spirit Works. There are five sermons altogether that we've packaged together in this work of the Holy Spirit. Call us again today. And when you call also, whether you get the Spirit Works CD or not, we have a free DVD on the Antichrist that we would love to give you. And absolutely no cost at all. 90 minutes of teaching on the Antichrist. And I'd love for you to travel to Israel with me next January. Here's some information.
Dr. White would like to invite you to travel with him to Israel. His next trip is scheduled for late January 2013. You will enjoy 11 exciting days walking where Jesus walked in the ancient land of modern miracles. Each stop of the journey, you will be fascinated as the Bible comes to life in 3D reality right before your eyes. You will gain more Bible knowledge in these few days than you could ever imagine. Information is available at www.randywhiteministries.org or by calling us at 1-855-437-9448. That's 1-855-437-9448. Or simply email Dr. White at randy@randywhiteministries.org. We hope you've been blessed from today's edition of Word for the World with Dr. Randy White. Please contact us today toll-free at 1-855-437-9448. Our website is www.randywhiteministries.org, where you can sign up for Dr. White's daily devotional or weekly doctrinal email. If you would like to write us, our address is 600 Penn Oak Road, Katy, Texas, 77494. Until tomorrow, thank you for joining us on Word for the World.
God has not abandoned Israel unless the sun didn't come up this morning. God is fulfilling the promise just like he said he would, the prophecy. He said, you'll be scattered for many days, but then I'm going to call you back home. If it's a nation created by God, then Israel is a nation protected by God. All these covenants, all these promises, all the Old Testament, all the New Testament, all came to us from the Jews. I think in our daily prayer life, we ought to be praying for the peace of Jerusalem.
And as we close out this week at Friend of Zion, I hope that you have been and will be praying for the peace of Jerusalem. I'm Dr. Randy White, and each day at friendofzion.com, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I hope you'll go to our website, friendofzion.com, and join our mailing list or click like on our Facebook page as we pray together for the peace of Jerusalem. Yesterday, we were talking about how Joshua the high priest was taken before the Lord, and Satan was going to accuse him, but Satan had an advocate, and that advocate was the Messiah, the angel of the Lord, and that advocate said, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan." Now, Joshua was not accused because he had an advocate. It was not that Joshua was not accused because there was nothing to accuse him of. In fact, in the very next verse, Zechariah chapter 3, verse 3, it says, Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and standing before the angel. Now, that just doesn't make sense, does it? Joshua, the high priest had strict instructions about how to dress when he was standing before holiness. In fact, he not only had a dress code, he had the dress. He had the robe that he was to wear. And here he is, not wearing it. And yet, the Lord says, remove the filthy garments from him. See, I have taken your iniquity away from you and will clothe you with festal robes. Friend, the day of the salvation of the Jews is coming. It's coming in that day when Satan stands before the Lord to accuse him, the day of Jacob's trouble. And in that day, Israel is going to find out that she has a Messiah and that that Messiah is her advocate. And she will mourn him whom they have pierced. And she will come and say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And in that beautiful day, God will remove the stony heart and give them a heart of flesh, as he has promised through Jeremiah that he would do. In that day, he will remove the filthy garments and give him a clean robe. Heavenly Father, that day has not arrived yet. The people of Israel still are rejecting Jesus as Messiah. But we know that the day is coming in which you are going to do a prophetic work among the people of Israel, and that in that day they will return not only to you, but to the angel of the Lord, to the Messiah. They will receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. We look forward to that day, and we have great confidence and trust that that day is coming soon. Praying for the peace of Jerusalem, in Jesus' name, amen. We're friendofzion.com. I'm Dr. Randy White.